Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time, period. We're going to do something different. We are giving you an episode that we're going to do another Twitter episode, right? And but this episode, we're breaking it up into two parts. Let's be honest. Kamau and I, we have very, very hectic schedules sometimes. Kamau is busy taping. You're taping the TV show right now, right? The new show.
Oh, yeah, I'm taping it right now. I don't have time to talk.
Yeah. We can't talk to him right now. I'm doing some other stuff with the show I work on and other things. So sometimes it gets... And we're in two different cities.
Last week tonight. You could at least say the name of the show.
Last week tonight, yes. And we're also in two different cities. I thought you were busy taping your show. How could you... Anyway, point is, so we're going to break this up because we don't want to have a week go by where you don't have an episode. So, that's it. But this is going to be a Twitter show. We're going to talk about a couple other things at the top and then get into your tweets and answer some of your questions. And that's it. So enjoy this. And we'll be back talking about another movie very soon.
Welcome to Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time, period, with W. Kamau Bell, Kevin Avery, and you, because today we're talking about your Twitter questions and other things that are going on in the universe of Denzelatry.
Yeah, that about sums it up. Welcome, everybody. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Today we're not doing a movie. We're just going to talk about, we're going to do an episode we ask people for questions on Twitter or comments or suggestions, because we're sort of, I don't know if we're about halfway through the Denzel filmography or so. Even though we're only in the H's, it seems like we're less than halfway through, but there's not a lot of Denzel movies that start with the letter X.
No.
The second half of the album, not a lot of Q Denzel movies, so The second half of the alphabet starts to pick up some steam.
Mm-hmm.
It's not called X, comma Malcolm. It's called Malcolm X.
Yeah, that's right. We did this before, as you remember, and actually people responded really well to this and really liked it, and it was kind of fun to do. And we squashed some. We didn't have beef, but we sort of answered some questions about. Would you call it potential beef that we might have had?
We just wanted to avoid beef that didn't seem like we needed to have.
Yeah. So. Well, there you go. Yeah. So we're going to do it again, but we're just going to go through some of your Twitter questions and talk to you about you and all really, you know, and I just want to say this, it's kind of, especially lately, it's been really fun to sort of read your tweets and to type in that Denzel at hashtag and just to see what you guys are saying about it and see your enthusiasm about the show. And we really appreciate that and see some of the stuff you've done, for the show, GIFs and your,
as we talked about, memes. I think two of the big ones are Jim Florzanex on Twitter, who has the @DenzelIts hashtag.
Yeah.
Handle, the @DenzelIts handle, who basically, like we said a couple episodes ago, she was like, is it okay if I do this? And I was like, I don't think we should. Yes. Yeah, and then also Igor Rusinov, who has built a site to catalog all of our ratings and also with other things on them. And, recently, do you want to talk about how he has now calculated that I rate things like 0.25 less than you do?
Oh, yeah. Apparently, I'm more generous with my reviews.
Genuous.
Genuous.
Yeah, that's the word. Genuous.
Genuous.
Yeah. You're more genuous with your reviews. I'm a little bit of a harder grader.
Yeah.
And he also that the average guest rating is, 3.83, I think it was.
So, yeah, 3.83. The total average is 3.67, I guess, of all, between...
Oh, between all ratings.
So, you're 3.39, I'm 3.64.
It's so great that this is... We may not be the biggest podcast in the world, but this is also just awesome that you're out there putting that level of of academia on it, yeah. Igor, and also that level of attention, Jim Florzanex.
Well, this is, no, this is, Igor Rusinov did this.
I know what I'm saying, but I'm also just giving credit to Denzel. It's, Twitter handle. Yeah, so follow that. We forgot to promote that last episode. Follow us on Twitter, me and Kevin, at WML, at Kevin A. But also follow at Denzel. It's DenzeAlots.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and meanwhile, over at Last Week Tonight, you guys ain't doing shit.
No, we're not doing a damn thing. Anyway,
by the time you guys hear this, we should just say this will have already sort of been out there. But I feel like I wanted to talk about the Edward Snowden thing.
Yeah, that was crazy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Max, the sound engineer, is like, finally, something on this podcast. He just woke up. He's just like, what? Yeah, so for those who are unaware, I'm going to set it up the way I experienced it. Because for me, it was like so great that the week before the Snowden thing aired, everybody on the internet who cares about this kind of thing was sort of up in arms about Trevor Noah being cast as the new host of The Daily Show.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I just like to think John Oliver was like, yeah, you guys worry about that. I got something. you worried about how that, who's going to, okay. And meanwhile, I'm over here doing this. Like, just the fact that he didn't announce it. I tweeted that. I was like, John Oliver just did the comedy equivalent of Beyonce dropping her last album unannounced. Yeah. Like, it was just like you just woke up and like, what?
Yeah.
He did what? Talk to who? Where? What? Oh my God. I just need to watch. It's on TV right now.
That was some gangster shit. I hadn't even thought about it in those terms because I already knew that it was happening.
Yeah,
me
and my friend Jeremy were talking about it. Like, you realize other news stations, other TV stations or entertainment outlets would have for a week, like, John Oliver is going to Russia in 18 weeks.
Yeah.
The countdown clock.
Yeah.
Countdown to John Oliver in Russia with Ed. There would have been commercials and it would have been billboards and it would have been like, you know, people would have had time to write about he better do it right or he better da da or is this a good idea or is this a bad idea?
Yeah.
And just the fact that he dropped it like Beyonce's album.
Remember
like,
we
or
used
like,
to
or like Kendrick's.
Yeah. Oh,
Kendrick
yeah.
Lamar.
Remember we used to talk about the whole Michael Jackson thing and how like
pimp Edward Snowden.
If Michael Jackson had just not said anything and dropped an album, it would have had a way bigger, better impact than instead of how he would every time he would lead up to the whole thing.
Yeah,
he would always, and like he had said, I get a statue. And then, Michael, no. Just put the album out. Okay, but I'm gonna make some sort of ode to the children and have a giant statue and we'll put it in Bahrain. And Michael, no, Michael. Just this is actually a good song. Why don't we just release it on the radio and don't do anything else?
And maybe don't even say it's you. Just put it on the radio and let people go, that song is great. Who is it? Oh, Michael Jackson.
Okay. But first, I just want to, maybe we'd have a billboard with flags on the tips of the billboard with me waving on one side and the children waving back on the other side just to celebrate the release of the
Michael,
album and the children.
We've told you never to say the words, the children. We've talked about this. We've talked about it several times. Stop saying the children, the kids. Stop saying I am like a child. It has an effect. It's not good for you. It's not good for us.
Peter Pan. Michael, no.
No, not Peter Pan. Not like I'm like a child at heart. Don't associate yourself with children.
Okay, but a quick question. Have you seen my childhood?
Okay. All right. We're done here.
Michael, I quit. There wasn't a lot of lead up to it,
and I think that's why you can hear the excitement in the audience in the studio when he goes, and here's my interview with Edward Snowden, and it's just like people go, what are you talking about?
Yeah, people were like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And it's funny because, so basically, yeah, he did a big old piece on government surveillance. The show was it was 45 minutes. We add an extra 15 minutes to it. He did this.
That's so great about HBO. You can go, can we get an extra 15? And they go, sure, we'll just bump back. what is it like, you know?
Whatever.
Like,
Veep or whatever was following.
We'll just show the Veep another 15 minutes. Not a problem.
Yeah, we'll just shift everything and it's fine. He did the whole, a big segment on government surveillance and, mentioned Edward Snowden, because you have to, you know, you're talking about NSA and everything and all this information we have now and sort of winds up by saying really the one person to talk to this, the Section 215 talk to about this Section 215, which is the thing that comes up in the piece, is, you know, Edward Snowden. And, you know, he can't, he's in Russia. And then, boom, guess where I went? You know, and he's sort of, next thing you know, he's just sitting there. We're watching an interview with him and Edward Snowden, and the audience had no idea it was coming.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, first you sit him just sitting in the hotel room waiting. That was a great bit, too, of him just waiting, and, like, he's late, and what if he doesn't show up, and just it was just that one of those things. I'm like, oh, they're using it's like that thing about I don't know if it's true, but Native Americans use every part of the buffalo. It's like he's wringing everything out of this comedy premise possible.
Yeah,
which is so he's not just going to cut straight to the interview. He's actually sort of now that he knows we didn't know, he's giving us time to anticipate it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But he told us. A couple months ago, I think it was before we went on, I can't remember now, but it was either right after we came back in January, late January, early February, I think, he told us, and it was just radio silence, and no one was supposed to know, and I think, in fact, even around the office, as emails were sent around, we were calling him Christian Grey. The guy from Fifty Shades of Grey. That was the code.
Christian
like,
Grey.
So when we do this Christian Grey bit, we want to blah 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 blah, and that. And
well, you know what I kept doing? You could have done this. I kept saying, I was talking to my friend Jeremy about it. I kept going, I can't believe they interviewed Edward Norton. which we then decided would be a hilarious, like, yeah, he goes all the way to Russia to talk to Edward Norton.
That would have been really funny, actually.
But I kept just going, I might have even done it today, because I just kept going, it's so cool how they got Edward Norton to talk about surveillance in Russia.
Yeah, really? What, the Hulk? All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was surreal to watch, and I actually didn't get to see the interview till the day of the taping,
So did he... did he really go, like he says he went there for 48 hours. Was it really like a quick trip where he had to go and come back and turn around?
It was a quick trip because he went on, we had a dark week 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So, wait, let me see. What day is this? I get confused because my weekends are all weird. But, we got back to work last week, and it was the week before that we had a dark week, and that's when he went to Russia. And it's funny because we all knew this was happening, and the Sunday before our week off, you know, we're in the rewrites with John, and we're just having casual conversation with him, and he's like, so what are you guys going to do over your break? And, you know, buddy of mine, you know, one of the writers, like, I'm going ice fishing. And I was like, I'm going to LA for a bit. And then just casually we asked him, hey, so what are you up to? What are you doing? And he was like, oh, I'm not, you know. And it was like we had all lost our minds for a minute and forgotten. And we were like, no, what are you doing?
Come on,
well, you know, and the door was open and there are all these other people in there and there are people standing outside. So anyone can hear. And he's like, I'm just, you know, I wish I was doing what you guys are doing because I have a trip that's... And we're like, well, what is it? Tell us, buddy. What's going on? Like, we didn't get it.
Coming, guys.
Yeah. And then he was like, well, I'll tell you when I get back. And he leaves. And we were like, wonder what he's... Oh, Russia. That's right. And we felt like assholes. And,
oh, that's right. You're about to draw. I just love the fact... There's also something else funny, too. Like, and, you know, that, like, a lot of... Like, when I watch a lot of... Like, not that I watch a lot of late-night talk shows. Whenever you see, like, those clips go around on Facebook... It's like there's this whole new thing of like every interview has to have like a viral stunt in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And I just love the fact that like while every other interview is like, so we got, Kim Kardashian and Harrison Ford, and they're going to play ping pong while a cat video plays in the background.
Yeah.
You know, like where it's like a whole bunch of stuff. We just have to try to get it. He's just like, I'm going to go to Russia and do a hard hitting interview with one of America's greatest hero/terrorist, depending upon your perspective.
Yeah. 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 Well, and it's weird too, because there are parts of it that were just that. I mean, it's funny. It's a funny interview. It's like an 18-minute interview. And there was no, well, we got to cram this into 5 minutes and just get it in.
Which is another thing you guys have over other things, that there's no pressure to, you know, not only would HBO let you do 45 minutes instead of a half hour, but you also get to do an 18-minute interview.
Yeah.
Like, That's not happening anywhere else on television.
Yeah. And it's nice because then you can kind of do, you know, like it starts out and it's funny. It's very funny. And then there's a point where it's a little serious. And
there's a point at which John Oliver clearly is like, no, I have a point to make here. And I didn't come all this way just to do dick jokes, which we'll do in a second.
Yeah.
Very funny dick jokes.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was nice to watch. You know, he was able to sort of take his time with it and stuff. And the guys who wrote the piece, Will Tracy and Jeff Maurer, it's generally very, it's a very collaborative atmosphere with all the writers, but those are the guys who sort of spearheaded the piece that got us into the interview. So they did a great job. And, John does his thing. It was just fun to watch all that come together and sort of kind of kick back and go, well, I know this is coming, but we'll see how people like it. So I had no idea.
Did those writers get to go to Russia too?
No. I think it was just John and a small crew, and they went there and turned around, came right. He was really nervous too about going and coming back. Like, okay, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, no, it's just it's the idea of like, it's also that to me, there's that amount of travel on your body too. It's just like, that just when you're maybe starting to get over jet lag, back on the plane, we got to do it in reverse.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. A 10-hour flight. That's easy. Yeah. Wow. So, it's online. You can check it out. It's like a 30-minute clip of the government surveillance piece and then the interview. But it came out really well and yeah, I don't know. It was just fun to sort of sit back and see it all work.
And
together.
It's also just fun to see occasionally happens the bar getting raised impossibly high for other people. What do you got? Okay. You can't.
Yeah, I don't know. I was glad it came out really well, and it's everyone was really excited about it, and. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, if I had totally biased right now and that had come out, I would not be so excited about it.
No.
I would be like, oh shit. Oh, okay. All right. Everybody, listen.
Yeah.
I would imagine the offices of some of the other shows, they're like, we can't even, what are you going to do? Go talk to him again? Like, you can't. Yeah. That would be funny if, like, Jimmy Fallon goes, this week I go to Russia and talk to Edward Snowden. But we're just going to do it, too. It seemed to work.
Well, that would be cool that he went to Russia and talked to Edward Norton. That would be the way he escalated it. Like,
That's true. I did totally just pitch the better idea. All right, well, have fun with that one, Jimmy.
Great. All right, well, let's, we've talked enough about what we're doing. Let's, why don't we take a break? When we come back, we're going to get into what our Denzelites have to say and ask and all that good stuff. Stick around.
Welcome back to Denzel Washington is the Greatest Actor of All Time, period. With W. Kamau Bell, Kevin Avery, and a lot of talk about things that had nothing to do with Denzel that clearly annoyed some of our fans, I'm sure. I'm sure there's some out there like, come on, I don't want to hear about your lives.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
So now we're going to get into some Denzel-related stuff. These are questions from... To make up for the fact that we talked about how we're human beings, we're going to get into some Denzel-related stuff. That you guys asked questions you asked us about.
Yeah, these are questions you sent or comments or things. We're just going to talk. Yeah, it's really we're going to talk about some of the stuff you've done. Now, do you want to start or do you want me to go first?
Well, here's a good one to start with. Okay. Somebody asked, "Who is the second greatest actor of all time?"
Oh.
Which they didn't say period, but I assume they meant that by Corey J. Brewer at Corey J. Brewer.
Okay,
Corey. It's not that this is the second greatest actor of all time, but this is, I feel like if I was to have an NCAA tournament of the greatest actors of all time, I filled out my bracket, which maybe we should do that. If I were to fill out my tournament bracket of the greatest actors of all time, the final game would be played between Denzel Washington and Meryl Streep.
Oh yeah! Wow,
that's... I'm making actor unisex. Obviously, I'm not calling. I just the idea of like I feel because that's the only other actor that when or Meryl Streep's the only other actor when I'm like whenever Meryl Streep comes out in a movie I'm like yeah I should just see that because I'm sure it's great.
Yeah,
like, I'm sure she's great. Like even if I'm not interested, I don't care anything about Margaret Thatcher, but I should see it because the Iron Lady because she's gonna be great. Like for me when she did, I mean I always knew she was a great actor, but when she did. Julie and Julia, and she was Julia Childs.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And she pulled off that weird voice and the awkward sort of cadence of Julia Child and just her awkward, not awkward, but just she was, that was a very specific type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, and it, she didn't make it over the top and comedic. Like, it'd be easy to make Julia Child like a comedy parody, but mm-hmm. she sort of, I was like, oh, she's dope. And so that, and also she's got a lot of movies, Sophie's Choice and Silkwood, and there's any number of movies. But then also The Devil Wears Prada, I thought was like one of those things where it's like, it's kind of like, for me, Training Day for Denzel is Meryl Streep and Devil Wears Prada. Like, you're way better than this material demands.
Yeah.
Like, you could sort of just sort of ham your way through this movie and be fine, but she actually invests, that movie is one of I remember when me and you saw that trailer for The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, right.
And it's just that, it's that first scene where Anne Hathaway, before we hated her, which I don't hate her, but before she was hated by
I don't know. Yeah, it's funny. I don't understand that. I actually am a big fan of Anne Hathaway, but.
Yeah, so it was that scene where she comes into the office the first day and Meryl Streep just sort of shits all over her. And you're like, oh, I should see this movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say if I had to pick for me, I'm going to say Meryl Streep. Not that she's the second greatest, but in my NCAA style 64 team bracket, 64 actor bracket, mm-hmm. it would be Denzel versus Meryl Streep.
All right. Yeah. Shit. that's a tough one. It's hard for me because I want to say who my favorite actor, of all, you know, like, there's Denzel for me, and then it's sort of this thing between either Don Cheadle or do you even have to ask who the other one would be?
Is it Matt Damon?
It's Matt Damon. it's Matt Damon.
The funny thing about Matt Damon, you're only saying that because of the Bourne Identity movies. I mean, he's a great actor. I love Matt Damon.
No, that's not true, though.
He's one of Matt Damon is the greatest narrator of all time. Well, okay, he's the second, Morgan Freeman. Again, if I did an NCAA bracket of narrators, of voiceover artists, Matt Damon and Morgan Freeman would square off in the final round. But yeah, so I Matt Damon's great. I think I love Matt Damon. Mm-hmm. He's great. I think you like I know you like the Bourne Identity movies a lot more than I do. Rounders is probably my favorite Matt Damon movie. If I have to think it through,
it's funny. I'm actually
he's also
trying
great
to
in
think.
The, The Informant, that movie with Steven Soderbergh. He's awesome in that movie.
That
movie
might that be.
I didn't know I liked that movie so much until that was one of those movies that you're like, I need to see The Informant now.
That
Amazon,
might be the best. His best role, I think,
because he's so off of what he normally does.
Similar to Meryl Streep, he rides this weird line of playing this character that he's got this accent and this sort of affect and this weird mustache, but he rides like Meryl Streep plays that character very straight. The Julia Child, she plays very straight. He plays this guy very straight, but at the same time, it's a comedy. And so he's kind of, there is sort of he rides the line of being like playing this very straightforward, but also being sort of silly and like slightly over the top without making it a complete caricature.
And every time he starts to go into character, he pulls back just at the right moment. And So I'm with you on Matt. He's a great actor. Yeah. I just know that that's really about the Bourne Identity series. And you know, they're making another one. I don't know if we
Yeah, they
that.
Are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They're making two more.
Oh my God!
They were making one with Jeremy Renner, who I'm also a big fan of. And then when Matt Damon was like, you know, I think I'll come back, they went, hold on, Jeremy.
You know, Jeremy Renner was like, oh,
come on, man.
It's like if Sean Connery goes, you know what? I would like to make one more James Bond. Okay, all right. Yeah. Sorry, sit down. New James. What's the new? Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by. We just want to see what this looks like.
Yeah, we just want to check it out. We're just going to try
it
out.
Check it out.
Honestly, though, I would put Don Cheadle a little bit over Matt Damon, because anything Don Cheadle does, I'm just captivated.
Well, have you checked out House of Lies? That
I've only seen a little bit of it. I've only seen a little
that
bit.
That show, it's very broad and over the top. It's very it's a lot of the cable shows now. It feels like if you're not watching like something that's intense and brooding, then it's like not good.
Yeah,
like it's hard to go, because when you go, have you seen, you know, like Game of Thrones? It's all about the intensity and the or and but. but House of Lies is a little bit like a throwback to old school classic when cable was just like, oh, we're gonna curse a lot, we're gonna be funny, and there's gonna be some nudity. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
yeah, it's,
but it's Don Cheadle and Kristen Bell. And there's two guys on that show. I gotta look these up because these guys, it's a comedy show. But it's also, it has intense moments, but it's very comedy. And there's two guys on it who are so funny. They're like a great comedy team. And they're both on, let me see if I can find the guy. House of Lies. But anyway, it's great. It's like a sneakily great show that nobody really, people don't talk about a lot, but it's, every time I watch it, like I'm all caught up, and every time I watch it, like, this show's good.
I keep meaning to watch it, and I see bits and pieces of it, and I was like, well, it looks like I want to, you know, get sucked into the show, and I just haven't done that.
It's Ben Schwartz, who's on Twitter, and Josh Lawson.
Okay.
They play like he runs a consulting firm, and it's, and the team, the pod of people they call him, it's Don Cheadle, Kristen Bell, who's great on the show, and also my cousin. And Ben Schwartz and Josh Lawson, who are like, they sort of like are the, they work together in the pod, but they kind of hate each other, but they're kind of best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And their comedy timing is amazing. I like watching it. It's just like these guys, and Ben Schwartz, I know, comes from improv. And Josh Lawson, you might remember from, he was in that Magic movie, the one that.
Now You See Me.
No, he wasn't. I'm sorry, I'm getting confused.
Oh,
he
was the Prestige or one of the Illusionist?
No, I'm sorry, this is where I'm thinking. Nope, totally wrong.
Oh, Jesus.
Anchorman 2, he plays the Australian guy.
A lot of magic.
Yeah, I don't know why I got the Magic movie. Maybe because he plays the Australian, sort of the Rupert Murdoch guy in Anchorman 2. Kinch Allenby. So yeah, they're super funny in it. Yeah, so House of Lies is good, check it out.
Let me just back up to the part where Kristen Bell is your cousin?
Yeah. Anyway, so what other Twitter questions do we have?
Is that really? Are we going on record with that? That's the legit.
Her side of the family used to own my side of the family. That's basically how it breaks down.
Right.
So we don't. They don't host those family reunions at the same time.
Okay. Good to know. All right. Anyway, so let's just. I'm gonna go official and say Don Cheadle is my second greatest actor of all time. Period.
All right.
There you go. All right. So I got one. I was going to ask something else, but it's too similar to this question, so I'll go back to it. All right. My question is from Shabir, or at Shabir1. His name is Shabir Ahmad. And my question is, has Denzel, so this is obviously a question about Denzel, our opinion on this, has Denzel limited himself over the years with the roles/scripts he's chosen? And it's sort of a double. And why hasn't he worked with bigger directors or done indie roles or films?
First of all, good question.
Mm-hmm.
The second part, I think he has worked with big directors.
That's
he hasn't
what I would
worked
say,
with
yeah.
like I think the brothers, who are they? The Scott brothers, Ridley Scott.
Ridley and Tony, yeah.
And Tony Scott are big directors. He hasn't worked, and Spike Lee, I think, is a big director.
Yeah.
He's not a commercial director. Like, you know, Spike Lee had a few moments, like Inside Man actually is the biggest hit movie Spike Lee ever had, ironically.
Mm-hmm.
Not ironic, but it's just not it's not like a typical Spike Lee joint. But, you know, so he's worked with big directors. He hasn't worked with, like, there's certain levels of, like, iconic, I would argue Spike Lee is this, but, like, he hasn't worked with Scorsese.
Yeah.
He hasn't worked with, like, Tarantino, which we've talked about. Maybe that's never going to happen. He's not really, Norman Jewison is a big director, but he hasn't worked with, like, I don't know, who else is it? Spielberg. He hasn't worked with, he hasn't worked with Michael Bay. You know? I get what he's saying. Like, there's if you heard a movie this summer from Martin Scorsese and Denzel Washington, you'd be like, what the fuck? Like, your brain would melt. If you heard this fall, Quentin Tarantino presents Denzel Washington, even if you were scared, which I would be scared, you'd be like, I gotta see this.
Yeah.
Or Jurassic Park 5. Like, this is what he hasn't done, which is why he doesn't end up in a Spielberg movie. He hasn't done the part in the big movie where he's just like, you know, and as the doctor, Denzel Washington, you know, in some sort of big Hollywood explosion film. Like, you know, he could very easily sort of wander through a Jurassic Park and it would blow all of our minds. Mm-hmm. And he could play a guy who's in four scenes, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously worked with very, very big directors. I mean, Jonathan Demme is another one. I'm just kind of going through all of these movies. You know, Alan J. Pakula is another. Some of these guys are obviously bigger than others, but... I guess that's what Scorsese
I get what
or
you're
Spielberg.
Saying, but I don't want to shit on Spike Lee and the Scott Brothers and like Norman Jewison,
the Hughes Brothers, you know, and
the Hughes and Antoine Fuqua has become a big director in large part because of Denzel.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
The Hughes Brothers. Yeah,
there's Robert Zemeckis, who's a
Robert Zemeckis. So, but I get what he's saying. There's that level of direction where it's like, if you heard like Denzel was doing a movie with. Who's the dude Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what? They were just, the fact of the team up would be a thing. Because he definitely seems to keep a fairly close circle of the people he wants to work with.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's about his, like, I don't want, like, he's got that thing where he said he doesn't like famous friends or Hollywood friends.
Yeah.
So he definitely keeps a pretty close circle. And I sort of feel like Denzel came around sort of like, and I've talked about this before, that the baton got passed from Sidney Poitier to him, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so Denzel is very brand conscious in a way. It's funny, in a way that people are supposed to be brand conscious now, but often not. But he's not, like we said, he's not going to be caught at the club. Other than that picture now where he's at the club with, but he's with Lee Daniels.
Like
and Lenny Kravitz. He's not just at the club with random people.
Uh-huh.
And they were probably talking about Empire or something. But, you know, he's not, so he's very, I don't think he, and the second part where he's like, he hasn't done indie roles. I think he came up in Hollywood at a time where he needed to set phasers to kill.
Yep.
And he's done, you know, I'm trying to think indie movies, but he's done smaller movies, but, you know, he's certainly not a guy who is in the indie circuit. And I sort of hope as he ages, he becomes a little bit of that guy. Like, it'd be cool to see him sort of like, you know, do some of those things. But I think he seems to be very conscious of the fact that I'm the heavyweight title holder of black actors.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit, it's like he's, therefore I have to be, it's like Rocky III. Like, I have to make sure that I'm fighting the right opponent at the right time.
Yeah.
And that this adds up to something. Because Flight, to me, sort of, it's a very sort of indie-ish role, because it's a guy who gets drunk but it just happens to be a big budget movie because it's about a plane being landed on its back and Robert Zemeckis directed it. But it had sort of like that, you know, indie overtones. And even Training Day feels like a movie that it's like, though, that's about as indie as he gets. Training Day and Flight, even though those are clearly super big time Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's there are big directors, and he's worked with a lot of big directors, and then there are iconic directors, and that's
which I would say, I would argue Spike Lee is in that group. It's just, but I get what this guy's, what Samir's talking about.
Yeah.
There's not any sort of indie-ish thing. I'm trying to go back. I mean, Training Day was a different turn for him, but he does not do
much ado about nothing.
Denzel,
you could say.
Okay, there you go. But that's, even that's like he's doing Shakespeare. But he's
exactly.
But he's not, and even he got game to me as like, it's Spike Lee, but it clearly was like, I trust Spike Lee for me to do this with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a guy who's like, Denzel's new movie appeared at, debuted at Sundance and got bought by Miramax. And, you know, I feel like it's all about that. He's sort of still in that, he's like, it's like, I feel like Denzel and Michael Jordan have always been linked in my mind, like dudes who are like, I'm only going to do the things that help continue to support the brand that I want people to have when they think about me.
Yeah.
And so Denzel playing a serial killer in a movie, even though it would be fun to see, is not something he thinks. And I think also there's that, I read an interview with him that somebody sent where he's like, he's got a spiritual side. And I think he does want to put out art in the world that makes the world, a better, that he feels like is supporting making the world a better place or not making the world worse. And there's that great clip, which maybe we can play that after we talk about it, where he talks about a movie he got offered early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And he called it The Nigga That Wouldn't Die. And he was gonna get paid a lot of money for it, but he talked to Sidney Poitier, and Sidney Poitier was like, well, you gotta do what you gotta do. or not that, but he basically was like, you have to make a decision. What kind of actor do you wanna be? Denzel said, when you pick a role, that sort of, if a role can become defining. And as he said in this interview I read, which we can post on the thing, he was biography man for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, he got defined by the fact that he always plays the black guy who wanted to do better and then died at the end. So, you know, I think that it's just he clearly has a very specific take on how he's supposed to do this.
And yeah.
It doesn't go down like, you know, Bad Lieutenant 3 Alley.
Yeah. I know what clip you're talking about. Let's just play it right quick so they can hear what you're talking about, because it's a great clip.
Sidney Poitier, I was very fortunate. In fact, he came to I talked to him before that, but I think it was when we came to Soldier's Play. And he said, "You're good."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and wow. I got a part in a movie in 1986. I called it The Nigga They Couldn't Kill.
Oh.
Yeah, he was supposed to be, he raped a white woman, and they tried to electrocute him, but it didn't work. And he became sort of a cult hero. No, not that one. That was the other awful one. But
yeah.
And then they tried to hang him, and they tried to do all this stuff. And I had a lot of training day in me. And there were some Jewish people in the audition, and I said, yeah. They said, no, it's funny. It's like they hang them and then they can't. I said, yeah, like you bring some Jewish people into a room and they think it's a shower, but it's gas.
Oh.
And they said, right. I said, right, that ain't funny. Mm. So to me, it wasn't funny about putting a rope around my MFing neck either. I made a point. The guy was like, who the hell is this little nigga talking like this? So anyway, make a long story long, I called Sidney and I was sick, because he told me to call him. I said, man, they offered me $600,000 to play the nigga they couldn't kill. And he said, I'm not going to tell you what to do. He said, I'm not going to tell you that, Denzel. He says, but I can tell you this. The first two or three or four films you do in this business will dictate how you're perceived in this business.
Mm-hmm.
So you make a decision. You know, he didn't tell me what to do, and I give him credit for that. And I turned it down, and 6 months later, I got Cry Freedom and got an Oscar nomination. So it could have gone an entirely, you know, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
It could have gone, my whole career could have gone an entirely different way.
All right. Yeah, that is.
Yeah, so I mean, that's hilarious. And it's hilarious if you can see the clip. He's actually like wearing a baseball. He's clearly dressed down as like Denzel. He's basically in his Peter Parker outfit, where he's like in a baseball cap and a big jacket, and he sort of got. It looks like he's probably got sweatpants and sneakers on, but he's very relaxed. I don't know exactly what was going on there, but he's very relaxed and tells the story of and the other thing, Denzel wouldn't. I don't think he would do Django Unchained, but you'd like to see him do Django Unchained.
Sure. Oh yeah.
You know, because he has, and that, Jamie Foxx is great in that. I'm not saying that, but just you would like to see him do something that, like, Samuel Jackson clearly has they send him a script. He goes, well, what time does it shoot? Well, do you want to read it? No, just tell me what time it shoots, and I'll see if I'm available.
Right.
I'll see if I can fit it in my calendar, which means there's a wide variety of things. Like, you go, like, for example, Samuel Jackson's in The Kingsman, and you're like, what? But it made bajumbo money. And you go, why would he need to do that movie? He's already in all of the Avengers movies.
Right?
Marvel's got him signed up for 23 movies.
Yeah.
But he clearly likes to work. Yeah. And, you know, so it's like, whereas Denzel is like, he's very picky. I would like to see him get a little bit less picky, because I think he has established the legacy at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think there's too much he could do. I think he could make Biodome 2 with Pauly Shore,
mm-hmm.
and people would be like, let's give it a shot.
Yeah, right.
I just woke up Max's engineering. I don't know about that one. Maybe that's
Answered.
Max wants to be in Biodome 2. That's the problem.
Oh, okay. All right. Max and Denzel in Biodome 2. Well, that sort of answers Shabir's other question, which was, you think he limited himself with what he's chosen? And like you said, I think he could still try a lot of different things and people would be on board with it. And, you know.
Yeah, he's 60. I think at some point he's not going to be able to. Old man action will become a thing, like it happened with Harrison Ford at some point. Where was that movie, Firewall, that we went and saw for.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, it's clear, like, oh, this guy can't. He's got a bad back. His knees are bad. he's been jumping around for a long time.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not happening anymore. And I'm not mad at Harrison Ford, but it was just like, this is one old man action too far.
Yeah.
And so, and since then, we haven't really seen Harrison Ford do a lot of those movies. But so I think at some point no matter how much you can play the like, oh, I just fight by sitting in this chair. At some point, you just have to let it go and not. Maybe some younger director. I mean, hey, if I'm Ava DuVernay, which I'm not, but if she wants to trade places, we can talk about it. I I would love to see her figure, like them, to, those two to work together. Yeah. Ava, the director of Selma. Like this something. Just I don't even care. Just make it up as you shoot it.
Yeah,
like, you
know, yeah, exactly. Just improv. Just improv the whole thing.
And I think that's why people are excited about the idea of Denzel being an empire, because you just want to see him get out of his... He's like a collectible comic. You want to see it out of the sleeve, the plastic sleeve, and mixing up with sort of the... You know, mix it up in a different location, like a TV show.
Yeah.
And so I think that would... I don't even watch Empire. I need to catch up on my black people homework. But believe me, if I heard he was going to be on it, I would go, okay, I would watch that episode.
Give it
and
a
I would
shot.
Probably go back and try to... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to give it a shot. I'm just trying to figure out time. But yeah, so...
Right.
Yeah, I think he just, it would be, you know, so I'm with you, Shabir. I just think that he's limiting himself on purpose. Like, I don't think he's.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.